I want to talk to you a few minutes, and unless God gets into it, I'll try my best not to hold you long and know there's no heat, even though it's really not bad in here to me. And I'll try my best to be considerate of you, and you be considerate of me, and be considerate of God. All right. I tell you what, let's start reading at the 27th chapter of the book of Isaiah, the first verse. In that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. In that day sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Fury is not in me. Who would set the briars and thorns against me in battle? I would go through them. I would burn them together. Or let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. He shall cause them that come up of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud, and fill the face of the world with fruit. Hath he smitten him? Has he smote those that smote him? Or is he slain according to the slaughter of them that are slain by him? In measure, when it shooteth forth, thou wilt debate with it. He stayeth his rough wind in the day of the east wind. By this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged. And this is all the fruit to take away his sin. When he maketh all the stones of the altar as chalk stones that are beaten in sunder, the groves and images shall not stand up. Yet the defense city shall be desolate, and the habitation forsaken, and left like a wilderness. There shall the calf feed, and there shall he lie down, and consume the branches thereof. When the bronze thereof are withered, they shall be broken off. The women come and set them on fire, for it is a people of no understanding. Therefore he that made them will not have mercy on them, and he that formed them will show them no favor. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the canal of the river unto the stream of Egypt. And ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, the outcast from the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mountain at Jerusalem. There, in the 28th verse, if you'll notice, he goes on speaking of the spirit of judgment. In the 5th verse, in that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to them that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. But they also have erred through wine and strong drink, are out of the way. The priests, the prophets have erred through strong drink. They've swallowed up of wine. They're out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment, for all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backwards and be broken and snared and taken. That day the Lord shall open up a channel, it says here, a stream. The Bible speaks of the river of God, the stream of God, or the river of God that makes the city of God glad. Now, I may just say a few little things to you tonight to bring you up to date on a few thoughts that's in my heart. I may not preach to you for just for a few minutes, but I'd like to say something tonight that would help you. It's my desire when I come here to preach to you, I come to help you, to do something that might be inspirational, something that might lift you up. And even though a lot of times I speak as it would be harsh to you, Paul said, rude in speech and yet not in knowledge. Sometimes we have to be rude in speech. A dad or a mother is rude in speech. But if they are a true dad and mother, they are mature and they are not rude in knowledge. They know why that they are chastening a child. They know why they are correcting a child. Now, if they're brute beasts, as I said earlier, they'll just beat the child. But if they are true parents, then they will chasten the child not out of temper, but out of the good for the child. Now, the Lord doesn't chasten me out of temper. He chastens me out of His love. Because He loves me, He chastens me. The Bible said, them that God loves, He chastens. Be zealous and repent. If God chastens you, repent, folks. Be zealous in God and repent. For the Bible said, them that He loves, He rebukes, He chastens. But if you never get rebuked of God, you're never chastened of God, you're never reproved of God, then you know that you are a bastard child and you have no heavenly Father. So then that's the time to fear. If you're not getting any chastisement, if you can just talk about people and gossip and do wrong and backbite and beat people, not pay your debts, not go to church, just any time you take a notion, say what you want to, do the way you want to, and then you don't get any chastisement, you don't have any sickness, you don't have any problems, any sorrows, then fear, because you are a bastard child and you are on your way to hell and you don't have a heavenly Father. But if God corrects you, sickness, the Bible said we learn obedience by the things we suffer. Through sickness and problems and all kind of heartaches, sorrows, then God dealeth with you as a son. And the Bible said be zealous and repent because God loves you. So then, reading here, we can see that God is referring to the day of Pentecost, which really was only a preview of the end time. Now, I think that most of you understand tonight that there is something brand new that's taking place. A lot of people would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't believe there's anything new that's taking place. But there's something brand new that's taking place. The revelation that we are bringing forth to you people, we are getting that revelation a lot of times as things happen in this world, step by step. There'd be no way for me to bring the revelation unless God first shows the natural part out there in what He's doing. Because the natural is always a forerunner of the spiritual. And so then God has a natural thing going on. And as that natural thing happens, God gives the revelation to the man that is in the Spirit with God. Is that right? The Bible said the word of the Lord came unto the prophets. Isn't that right? Now, it does not mean that in this day that the word of the Lord comes to the prophets. I know now that you know, we speak of Brother Branham, and a lot of people say, well, he was the prophet, the word of God came to him, and that was it. Everybody had to go to Brother Branham. That's wrong. That's not Bible. I can't preach that because that's not Bible. See, the word of the Lord came unto the prophets then. Now, in that day, they could say the word of God comes to the prophets. But the Bible said in this day, though God has spoken to us in time past, in divers manners, in time past, at sundry times, God has spoken unto us by the prophets, but hath in this last day spoken unto us by His Son Jesus Christ. Which means the Word of God is in your heart as a Christian today. Now, if you have the Word of God, you don't have to be a prophet today for the Word of God to come to you. Because you are greater than a prophet. You are far greater than a prophet. You don't have to be a prophet to receive the word of God. That's why I do not agree with them concerning Brother Branham. A lot of that was just makeup stuff that they had. That wasn't true. Now, you didn't have to go to Brother Branham to get the word of God. That's not true. You don't have to come to Brother Pike to get the word of God. The word of God comes to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You follow me? God has in this latter time spoken unto us by His Son Jesus. And that Son Jesus is the membership of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you don't have to go to anybody to get the Word of God. The Word of God comes to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will come to me, it will come to you, it will come to anybody that will allow the Word of God to come to them. You get in tune with God and God will speak to you. And pour out His Spirit upon all flesh with stammering lips and other tongues. He will speak to the daughters of men. He will speak to the sons of men. Now you say, well, Brother Pike, what profit is there then
in going to hear the ministry if the Word of God comes to the church. Because the ministry is far advanced above you. The ministry spends their time walking with God and talking with God that they might be advanced in God and have an oversight. God has overseers in the church. That means somebody that sees far farther than you do. And they are advanced as parents in the church to watch after the children. You understand what I'm saying? In the Old Testament, the Word of God wouldn't even come to the church. It wasn't a matter of having overseers. It wouldn't come to anybody but the prophets. You could have stood there for years before God, but that wouldn't have done any good. It came unto the prophets, and the prophets would come with, "Thus saith the Lord." But today there's men that are advanced in the kingdom of God. Like in the days of Paul, the Word of God was coming in that day to the church. But Paul had received the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't just a matter of the Word of the Lord coming to Paul. Paul was far advanced in God, and he had received the revelation of the Lord Jesus and had something that the church had not gotten a hold of. Such a one as I, Paul said, was caught up into the third heavens and saw things that wasn't permitted for me to speak. It is the same way today. There are men that are advanced in God. There's men that God is using. And when you go to those men, you can receive greater things than you had ever hoped to receive. Some of you will never get anywhere with God as far as receiving the Word yourself, because you don't devote enough time to fasting, enough time to praying, enough time to studying, enough time to meditation. And you are dependent upon God and upon the preacher as God speaks through the ministry to bring you up into the things of God, to where you can grow up in the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, the ministry is greatly needed. But I am not going to preach to you and cause you to err by telling you that the Word of God just comes to a prophet and that's all. God has in the latter times spoken unto you by His Son Jesus. If I stand up here as a membership of the body of Jesus Christ, it is not me speaking, but it is God speaking from within me. If you do not receive what I say, Jesus said, if you don't receive Him that I sent, you don't receive me. He that receives Him that I sent, receiveth me. Whatever you do to them, He said, you do it to me. And so then, when we come together to talk with you and try to lead you, it is not because we are a lord over God's heritage. It is not because we are greater than you are. It is not because you cannot get the Word of God. But it is because God has advanced us in the Word, made us a minister, and sent us for your benefit and for your growth in God, that we might lead you into the great things of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the truth. Now, so then, it's a wonderful thing to be here at Little Bethlehem, have brothers and sisters and spiritual mothers in the church that can watch after the babes in the church and help them to grow up into the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's wonderful. I'm thankful tonight because I've been privileged to see a lot of things. I saw today, in the last few days, I was watching some things. I saw how that God has brought Brother Leon Wilson in to typify the sealing in and the catching up of the man-child. Even as far back as the meeting when we went over into Kentucky. You remember how we went over there and how the different things transpired. We spoke of the coming in of the revelation, the rest of it being cut off. And even today, I noticed some things extending even from that time on over, as we've tried to bring you up to date through the preaching of the Word, many tapes that we've got here. I noticed that even today, some things was taking place. How many of you know that Kissinger has been rejected by the Jews? About 3 days ago, I spoke to Brother Gary or somebody. I can't remember who it was. Confidentially, it might have been Paul. I don't know who it was. But I spoke to him and I told him that Kissinger, who had laid way for the Antichrist, paved the way for the Antichrist. I remember me saying that. I said Kissinger, being a near kinsman to the Jew, had to do with the coming of the Antichrist. Now, I want you to see something here for just a few minutes. I'll talk to you just for a few minutes. First of all, he is part Jew. Next, he has to do with the Arabs. He's not full Jew, for he has to do with the Arabs. Jesus, remember, Jesus was part sin and part righteousness in the sight of God. Is that right? His fleshly part was made sin, though he knew no sin. He was made like unto the bonds child, which relates back to the Arabs. That was the fleshly side of Jesus. It was made like unto sin, and then the spiritual side of Jesus was made like unto the Jew, which is righteousness. Is that right? In that Israel is the apple of God's eye. Now remember, Israel is a type of the free child, and the Arab is a type of the bonds child. And so then, Kissinger represents both of them, running right in the pattern of the Antichrist. He represents both of them because in his body, so to speak, he has to do with one. In his spirit, he has to do with another. Is that right? The Jews have rejected Kissinger. I got a little clipping today, and they've rejected him. I made the statement, I said that Kissinger will pave the way for Antichrist. This great world government coming in will be turned toward Atlanta, Georgia, which he did. And then when all of the nations agree to a peace pact, and the Bible said when they cry peace, sudden destruction, then after that they have agreed to a peace pact, I said Israel will go into it, but Israel will realize they're wrong and reject it because the individual will make himself God. Is that right? Didn't Kissinger make a peace pact with all of them, even Israel, and then turned around and said, I am Israel's true Savior. Is that right? Now, I said that Israel would reject it. And when Israel rejected it, that it would cause all the nations of the world to turn on Israel. Is that right? And so today, it has begun to happen exactly like we said. Today, I've got the clipping, I haven't got it with me. But today, I was brought a clipping, and in this clipping, they rejected Kissinger. Now then, the Jews have their ritualistics, you know. And according to their ritualistics, you have to have as many as 10 men before you can start a service. In the clipping today, they had 5 men sitting on what they called the judgment seat. And the title of the clipping was, The Day of the Judgment. I want you to see that. The Day of Judgment. I want you to see something tonight. It won't take long, but I want you to see something. The Day of Judgment, and they had 5 men, rabbis, sitting, a picture of them. They are American rabbis, Jewish rabbis, but in America. And these 5 excluded or cast Kissinger out from the presence of the Jew. The paper stated that they rejected Kissinger, and some of it's right comical on the grounds that they rejected him on, yet it's not to them in that it's conviction. But one of the things was they said that he went into the house of David over in Israel and ordered a breakfast of ham and eggs. Are you listening? They rejected him on the strength of the ham part. You know, they could eat eggs, but they couldn't eat swine. And him being a Jew in the house of David, that is, in the house of David, they felt like he brought them to shame. They also said they had checked up on him and found out that a lot of the dirty reports that they had gotten was true. He also made them to work on a special day that I preached to you about a few days ago. You know, the coming in of that special day. He made some of the Jews work on that day. They were upset about that. They said that when he was sworn into office here in the United States, that he was sworn in on a Christian Bible. They were upset about that. So finally, they rejected him and said that he could not be a part of any Jewish organization anymore. He couldn't be employed in any way by the Jews. He can never again come into Israel as a Jew. He is forever cast out as a Jew. Now I want you to see this tonight. Never again can he be considered a Jew. The Jewish laws state that if in the United States or in America, if the rabbinical order here in America rejects any Jew, that he is no longer a Jew, can no longer enter into Israel, I'll be part of their organized nation of Israel or part of their religious activity. He is dead. He is considered an outcast. He is no longer a Jew. So the paper stated very emphatically and very boldly that he was no longer a Jew. He could never be part of it. Now I want you to see this. Notice this now. Israel accepted the peace pact through Kissinger. But Kissinger became an accuser of the brethren. Is that right? How do you remember when he accused Israel? Made a mockery of Israel. Accuser of the brethren. That's the brethren over there. See, naturally speaking, accuser of the brethren. But I made the statement a few days ago that at this time the accuser of the brethren is cast out. Is that right? They that accused them before God day and night, he was cast out. That's a heavenly country. That's a holy city. They're casting him out. They're rejecting him. He's no more. You understand what I'm saying? Naturally speaking, they have the power to do that. So then he is cut off from them. That means that they have rejected the peace pact to this extent. Kissinger is not going to favor them anymore. Is that right? Kissinger isn't going to favor them because they don't favor Kissinger. And Kissinger is the man that laid the way for the great peace pact. Kissinger isn't going to want the Jews to be in the peace pact anymore. Because he knows if they are in the peace pact, it means trouble for him. Because they're going to be against him. He's going to be bitter against them. And in being bitter against them, it's going to cause a division and a separation and cause Israel to draw farther and farther away from the peace pact, just exactly like we said that they would do. Draw farther and farther away from the peace pact, and in that stir up all the nations of the world that are willing to come together in a peace pact. It'll stir up all the nations and cause them to gather themselves together against the Jewish people round in the valley of Armageddon to bring on the battle. Now, I'd like for you to see something here tonight. In that they have rejected him, that means that he has rejected them, and there is a separation between them and between Kissinger, which puts a gap between them and the organized powers of the world. The devil sought to organize all of the nations, all of the powers, the dignitaries of the earth that has to do with religion, and caused the Jew to come into that great peace pact and then take control and bring a perverted peace into the world, in that he can never give peace because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And the Bible said there's no peace to the wicked. They're ever like the troubled waters that's casting their mire up upon the shore. There is no peace to the wicked. God said, I'll pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. Is that right? He said, the offering of the wicked is abomination to my sight. So then to bring in a false security, a false peace, and to get Israel into it, that was the desire of Satan. If Satan could have done that, the whole world could have turned into a pool, a cesspool of iniquity, and carried on their evil practices, and God could never have come back, because God can't return into the earth until the Jews have accepted Christ. Is that right? He cannot come back until God has caused the Jews' hearts to turn back to Christ. Because he said, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse, then before the great and notable day of the Lord come, I will send you the prophet Elijah, and he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Is that right? In the great tribulation, the prophet Elijah and the prophet Moses is to come back and turn the hearts of the children of Israel back to the apostolic teachings of those fathers that was Jews in the day of Pentecost when they laid the foundation of the church. To come and turn it back, lest God should smite the earth with a curse. Why is it that they hold back the curse? Because Israel is the salt of the earth. Brother James Torrance was baptized in the Jordan along with Sister Mary. And I brought it out concerning the birth of the man-child at the crossing of the Jordan. Is that right? Follow your feast and take it up to Jordan. Bring it across the Red Sea and down through the wilderness and get to Jordan and go over the Jordan and see that your birth takes place from Calvary through the wilderness over Jordan, and then the child comes into Canaan land. Is that right? Now then, to go into that, we'd have to go into a stream of revelation that would stay, keep you all night long. But just to use a little bit to bring you up to a place to where you can understand. When they were baptized, Brother James, whose name is Isaac, the promised seed, was baptized in the Jordan. Is that right? Sister Mary, which we call Sister Cook, was baptized in the Jordan. That's the only two. Because I refuse to go back and just re-baptize people just because they were over there. I don't believe in that. So I baptized these that were to be baptized that I'd never baptized that I know of. Now, in this, Brother James Torrance, whose name is Isaac, how many remember when he went down to the Salt Sea, and when he got down there, he bent over and those tracks fell out into the water. Those tracks called the faith fell out into the water. That same track was being translated into Chinese in the time when the president was visiting over there and had to do with the fall and the death of Mao Zedong in the casting out of the red dragon after he had boldly made the statement, I understand, that he had boldly made the statement that they could be found in the Bible. If anybody wanted to know whether or not they was going to rule the world, just read in the book of Revelation in the Bible and they would see. The red dragon, the dragon nation. You follow me? Red China, communism. These tracks fell out in the water. I said the Dead Sea, which is called the Salt Sea, has to do with the days of Sodom and Gomorrah when Lot's wife fled from Sodom and Gomorrah, turned and looked back, and was turned into a pillar of salt. And I said, if you'll trace it down, you'll find out that's the origin of the Salt Sea. And when you check that out, what the woman had to do with has to do with Israel. My soul shall have no pleasure in them that draw back. Why did God turn her to a pillar of salt? Why did God let her look back? Because the Jews is the salt of the earth. They're the salt of the earth. And it was salt that Elisha used when he went to heal the waters. And the waters have to do with the people. I read to you here where he said, in that day God will destroy Leviathan, which is the piercing serpent that is in the great seas, which is in the great waters, which means Satan that's in the midst of the people, for the people denote waters. Is that right? Like the Bible said, God put him on his belly over there when he turned him, when he turned that beast into a serpent, said, thou shalt eat dust all the days of thy life. What was he speaking of? God said, Adam, out of the dust I created thee. That is, he would be a devourer of humanity. Man is made out of dust. He would be a devourer of humanity. You follow me? All right, now, the piercing serpent, the salt sea. You follow me? Speaking of Mao Zedong being cast out, the red dragon. James was over there, Isaac, the promised son. Why was it that the tracks on the faith with the name Jesus, why was it that they fell into the salt sea? It was because it had to do with the healing of the waters. Isaac, the promised son, had come to Israel. That is the same one that was offered up as a human sacrifice on the rock that is there in the Mosque of Omar that they call the Dome of the Rock. You follow me? That is the same place where I throwed one of the tracks over on top of that rock when Brother Frank Beretta moved around to the side and took the picture of the face of Satan as we suppose him to look, you know, in our minds. There a great rock in the pillar that they'd hewn out of the earth. There the face of Satan in the Mosque of Omar in that temple was there. I throw the track on the faith, like the faith of the fathers, over on the rock. When I did, Brother Beretta took a picture of the face, which was against their rules, and called the great stir. And I said, Lord, why did you do that? And God said, for I will destroy him with the brightness of my coming. When that track went over on that rock, It indicated the brightness of the coming of God, that the sacrifice Jesus Christ had taken the place of Isaac, and that great flash on that rock was destroying the image of Satan with the brightness of his coming. And I made the statement that God will return to the Mount of Olivet. And what I understand, and when the Lord Jesus, as God of heaven and earth, puts his foot upon the Mount of Olivet, then we'll see whether Ali is God, whether Ali is God, or whether Jesus Christ is God. He'll set his foot upon the Mount of Olivet, and when he does, the little Palm Sunday road that runs right down the mountain, right down through the valley of Kidron, goes right on over to the doors there that's called the Eastern Gate. That little Palm Sunday road coming right down to the Eastern Gate. At that time when Jesus sets his foot upon the Mount of Olivet, I believe this with all my heart, that mountain cleaving in hand, run right down that little road. Bust those gates open, those gates will break open, and that earthquake will rend that Mosque of Omer, just break it half in two, like a rent veil, the separating of the rent veil and the rock, which is the Ark of this Covenant. That little track on thee faith will show forth. Spiritually speaking, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I believe with all of my heart that that's not too far away. And in what I saw yesterday, it all ties in with it, if I just had the time to tell you tonight. Yesterday, I believe it was, Brother Floyd brought me a bright red suit. He brought it to me, and just as he bought it and brought it into the living room, just as he got up under the little chandelier that was supposedly to be here in the church, I gave that chandelier to replace it right there and took the little one. When he got right under it, my David Paul stepped in from off of the porch, and he had killed a young rattlesnake. He took the rattlesnake and brought him in. And right there where Floyd was with the red suit, now I want you to get this, right there under that little chandelier that points to that one that represents Christ right there, that when he came into that place, there I saw again the spilled blood of Jesus, the red dragon being cast out, the old serpent. That was on a Wednesday, which was the middle of the week. Speaking of the man-child now being caught up, that's the same night I ministered to you here till about 12 o'clock that night. All right, now, in this, I felt each one of you, almost every one of you that night, just go right into the Spirit, right in the Spirit that night. And you gave me time to minister to you. Now, and that had to do with the middle of the week, pointing back to the tent down here, the white tent. Brother Branham spoke of returning in a white tent. That tent being down yonder, as you know, being there at the old theater. The old theater's gone out. It isn't there anymore. That was where the Ku Klux come, burned the cross. You know, the Ku Klux has to do with the devil. How many know that? That's right, it has to do with demons and devils crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they burn the cross like they do. Now, in that, they say there's about 7 men that was killed back over there that no doubt had a reference to those church ages. How do you believe that God is closing out the church ages? I believe that. I really believe in my heart that God sent Brother William Branham to close the church ages out. I believe it had to do with the closing of the church ages. Now, with that, after the 7 days comes the 8th, which is the morrow after the Sabbath, which is the sign of circumcision. Is that right? Now, with the tent being down there, we went down there on the first night, and as far as I know, we'll be down there on the last night. The church here, as far as I know, will be closed up on a Sunday here, which is very unusual for me to do. But I try to move with the Spirit and do what I feel God would have me to do. In that the church will be closed up and the people will be down there. The Bible said they were all baptized under Moses in the Red Sea and in the cloud. And that has to do with the Red Sea, a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. Is that right? And the Bible said Jesus will return in the clouds of glory. He will return in a great cloud. That has to do with the rapture, in that the old theater is gone out and the new system of the video is supposed to take its place in the rapture, in the type down there, which has to do with here. Now then, in this, the church here being closed up will indicate the days of the Gentiles being over, the doors being closed, and nobody able to come. Is that right? The Bible said until the wrath of God was finished, no one could enter into that tabernacle. John wrote the revelation of Jesus Christ by looking back at Calvary. As he looked back at Calvary, he saw those great things. He saw the rent veil and come to realize that God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself through the body of atonement of the blood spilt yonder at Calvary. In this, he realized that Jesus was the light of the world, and that the kingdom of God was inside of Jesus. And he said, when the veil of the temple was rent in twain, speaking of the body of Jesus, that when that veil was rent in twain, that he looked and the ark of his testament was seen. What was the ark of the testament within Jesus? It was Christ. Christ is God's ark of the testament. Christ was in Jesus. And that Christ on the inside of that body, that was God's ark of the testament. That is why that the kingdom of God today is in your heart, in my heart, and every heart that is called as the preordained of God. Because Christ can come to us in measure, and that measure is a measure of the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus likened the kingdom of God unto a little seed. Sin is likened to leaven. But he likened it unto a seed, a little seed. He said that the Spirit is given unto you by measure. You receive a measure of the kingdom of God, a measure of the knowledge of God, a measure of the understanding of God. That is God's ark of the covenant. That is the Holy Ghost. Christ is the Holy Ghost. Christ is the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Ghost. And he comes back in your heart, and that Spirit of the Holy Ghost, that Spirit of Christ, testifies to what God did at Calvary with the atonement. Now, let's look at it for just a minute. When the Holy Ghost has come, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, which is the Spirit of Christ, when the Spirit of Christ has come into your heart, that Christ will testify of that body. Jesus said, my Spirit shall testify of me. Said, when the Holy Ghost has come, he will testify of me, Jesus said. His Spirit would testify of his atoning bodily work, of his redemptive work. Is that right? Does the Holy Ghost in you testify of the Jesus and his atoning work? Does the Holy Ghost in you praise the Lord Jesus Christ for the atonement at Calvary? It is Christ within you, the hope of glory. If you don't have Christ in you, you don't have any hope of glory. It is Christ, the Spirit within your spirit, that translates your spirit into his Spirit, which is the kingdom of God. So then John, in seeing this great revelation, he said that the veil was rent, which was the temple at Calvary. It was rent in two, and when it was rent in two, he said, I saw the ark of his testament. I saw the ark of his testament. A testament is of none effect unless the testator be dead. Why? Because the Spirit is the testimony that is speaking from within the human body. And before that testament can be of effect, that Spirit has got to go into the presence of God. In other words, that is the great Supreme Court. And if you are to make out a will, which is your last testament, it's got to go into the presence of the law. It's got to go into the presence of a lawyer. It's got to be taken care of in the courts. It's got to be within the hands of the law. When that Spirit departs from the body and goes into the presence of God, then your testament is of effect in the earth. All right, now, look at the thing that has taken place. Jesus saw, or rather John saw, this great testament showing forth. Look at the thing that's taking place right now. The veil has been rent. The veil has been rent. The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ is shining forth. The ark of Christ is testament returning. The tent down here that Brother Leon has to do with the woman part. which had to do with Brother Branham. Now go back, I can't go through all of it, but I've got some of it on tape here. You remember how that I gave Leon the belt that was called the 20th Century Prophet. Is that right? They gave it to me after that I'd seen the vision out yonder at Hard Labor Creek. He's got the belt. He told me the other day, he said, I wouldn't depart from this belt for nothing. He said, nobody will get this belt. Now, he's got that belt. That belt represents Brother Branham. That belt represents the bride. That represents the woman part. Brother Branham was numbered with the woman part. He was numbered with the bride. But the Bible said the sons of God shall marry thee or the church as a man taketh to himself a wife. Why? Because it is the sons of God that's going to denote the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to have the mind of Christ. They're not going to be feminine. They're going to be masculine. That part back there that's been in the world, Brother Branham was numbered with the Trinitas, numbered with the veil, numbered with the woman. Why? Because the child is carried within the womb of the woman until the day that the birth comes forth. And so the Trinitarian veil had to do with the carrying of the child. But as quick as the child is born, then the woman goes into a wilderness. Oral Roberts, it sprang up from the voice of healing. T.L. Osborne, all those great people that had to do with the woman, had to do with America, had to do with the Trinity part, a religious move in a woman's nation, carrying the child, the spiritual Christ within you, the hope of glory, waiting for the child to be born so that when it could come forth in its own body and be manifested in its own body, as long as it was in the carrier, it was not in its own body. It was in the carrier. And so then it continued in the woman's world. Women continued to preach. Women continued to rule the world. Is that right? You never hear of a Baptist woman preacher, nor a Presbyterian woman preacher. But notice, since the child has been born, now then you hear Presbyterian women preachers. You hear of Baptist women preachers. You hear of all of those people ordaining women because the woman has gone into a religious wilderness. It is the place prepared for her for a time's time and half a time. Old Roberts and Billy Graham, as I've said before, having to do with the great wings of an eagle that was to take her in that they are Americans. They are considered of the eagle nation and picking the woman up, taking her, Old Roberts, to television and everything else that was unlike God in the degraded things back there, turning to those things, caused that woman to be blinded, and him and Billy Graham has taken that church, that woman that bore the child, as far as the typical part in America, into a religious wilderness. God has suffered them to be blinded for this reason. The Bible said that the woman goes into a place prepared for her for a time's time and a half a time, which means the tribulation period, the half of the tribulation period, when the man child is caught up, that she might be nourished from the face of the carnal mind, which is the serpent, from the world. You know what the place is to her in the religious perspective? It means that she is intermingled and interwoven to the world, and in the world, which is a wilderness, and nobody recognizes her from anybody else. You follow me? She is so mixed up in the world, they say, leave them alone. Like the Antichrist, the Bible said in that day, that Moab, the land of Ammon, those that will escape from the Antichrist, he won't go over the Jordan. Back in the valley of Petra, back in there, there's a place, the wilderness back there. And he'll say, I'll leave them alone. They'll die in the wilderness anyway. You understand what I'm saying? Israel fleeing from the face of the serpent, from Antichrist, the Bible said he'll stretch out his hand over all the land, but these will escape. And he spoke of that land that was given to the children of Lot. Moab, Ammon, on the other side of the Jordan, where some of the Israelites took the inheritance, on that side where they had some cities of refuge. He will persecute them. The manslayer will persecute them. Being relative to the Jews like Kissinger, persecute them and pursue them unto that place, and then they'll go over into the cities of refuge, into the valley of Petra. Now, but in the spiritual perspective, she will be pursued by the carnal mind until she gets into a disguise to where the carnal mind will feel like she's forsaken her religious convictions and gone out into a wilderness, and that she's dead spiritually, that they don't have to fear her anymore. That she don't have any more religious convictions, and she's left off and she's just like them, so they can't find her because she is hid, and that she looks just like them. They don't know where she's at. Now, during the tribulation period, God will suffer the church world to do that. That woman that has carried the child, old Roberts coming up from William Branham's ministry, when the child was born, then up it went to the throne, which was typified by Brother Branham, and then the child was shown forth. The woman went away into a wilderness. It has been today that Kissinger, I read where he was rejected, where he was cast out. It was just a little bit ago that we went over to the holy city, which has to do with the catching up onto the throne. You might remember saying something about it. Some of you went over there with us. It typified the rapture. Being in the holy city, being caught up to the throne, what took place? When we went over there, that's when these tracks fell into the water that had to do with Isaac, the promised son, caught up to the throne. Having to do with the birth of the promised son, when Sister Marion was baptized in Jordan, as quick as the child was born, it was caught up to the throne. How of you are listening to me? So then when David, remember, when David was our God guiding our people, he said, Brother Pike, I've never seen people like your people. They're holy people. This God guided us until we were ready to catch the plane and come back to America. Now, I want you to see this. Many things took place. But while he was guiding us, finally he got up and in tears or whatever, said goodbye, stepped off of the bus, and God spoke to me and said, go sit down in the place of that God. I got up, I went, and I sat down in the God's place. When I sat down in the God's place, there was a great big key laying on the dash of the bus, and the Lord said, get that key. I give you the key to the house of David. I reached over and got it. The driver, who was smoking, a sinner that knew nothing about my thoughts or what God had spoke to me, nor that I'd sat down in the seat of David, he never connected that together anyway. I'd sat down in the seat of David, which was our God. That was his name. I reached and took the key of David. Whereas the Bible said that God will raise up Christ to sit on the throne of David. He said he would do it. Giving him the key, raise him up to sit upon the throne of David. I sat down there and I picked up the key. And this sinner that knew nothing about spiritual things to that extent, he hollered out at him and said, the key to the house of David. Now, God willing to substantiate what was taking place. Then from that, we went on after having passed through the sentry, got over there, we caught the plane, flew back to America, which typified the catching up and coming into the new world, back to little Bethlehem, going into the Canaan land to reign with the revelation of Jesus Christ, having the key to the house of David. Now then, Kissinger, who said he was their true Savior, was cast out. But when we went there with Christ, who was their true Savior, took the revelation of Jesus Christ, the first sermon we preached was, Shiloh is come. And the Bible said the scepter shall not depart until Shiloh be come. So then there, Kissinger being turned out. Remember, they rolled out the red carpet for him to start with, but then turning him out, casting out the accuser of the brethren. Out he went. When the man-child went up to the throne, which was the revelation of the Lord Jesus. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, they never even noticed you being over there. Don't you ever let anybody tell you that. They took Brother Mike. He stirred them up so much. You know, Michael standing for his people in that day. They took Brother Mike and they took him out there and would have locked him up. But we caused so much stir over there And they noticed it so much that they wouldn't even let the man in Atlanta, Georgia, come back into Israel after he had been going there with a regularity until I wrote and told him that we was the one that put the literature over there. That's right. Our people passed out so much literature going up and down the road, Delarosa, going up and down there. We passed out so much of it. I did a lot of it myself, my wife, and different ones working with us. That there was tracks and little crevices and holes and fences and hands and everywhere else. It stirred them up so until they wrote a letter and told him he couldn't even come back into Israel because of all that literature that he passed out over there. And I had to write a letter. He wrote me a letter and said, "Brother Pike, will you please tell these people that I didn't do it?" I said, "I'll be glad to do it." I wrote and told him, I said, "I'm guilty. Me and my people, hallelujah." So then it caused a stir, folks. Now, I'm saying this. Right here when the man child is caught up, Kissinger, seemingly going out, that the end of the American government, right in the middle of the year, and then the publication in the paper, and the publication was the Judgment Day. Are you listening? Oh, somebody said, "Wait a minute, Brother Pike. The Jews have no right to call that the Judgment Day," but they do. I want you to listen now. We, God deals with us as individuals. Let whosoever will. Is that right? But he deals with Jews as a nation, saying a nation shall be born in one day. Is that right? Now, that means that those Jews have the right to judgment, for the Bible said in that day they will judge the nations. They will judge the nations, the sheep nations and the goat nations, and separate the sheep nations from the goat nations. They will judge them in that day. God has given judgment into their hands and made them the head of the nations. And they will judge them according to the kindness that they showed them as the Jewish people in the time that they were out of the presence of God. Now, the nations that befriended them will be befriended. Those that rejected them and persecuted them, the Jews will persecute unto death. You follow me? We'll rule in that day with a rod of iron, being typical of the bodily redemption. The Judgment Day, they called it. How do you know that when I brought that out about that special holiday they had a few days ago, I pointed back to Isaac. I pointed back to Isaac and to the dome of the rock and tried to explain in few words, Paul said, as I wrote to you in few words to try to explain that you might understand my knowledge in God. In few words, I tried to explain to you what was taking place in that special day that they had. Now, in the middle of the week, this happened. In the middle of the week, Wednesday, middle of the week, I came here, the red suit, the snake was killed, Brother Wilson down yonder, the preaching of the word, George Jr. coming in, having to do with my firstborn down there. In the middle of the week, the video system coming in, the filming up yonder in Charlotte, all having to do with the rapture, films having to do with the rapture, the sealing in. I said the bride typically being sealed in by our people that are here. How do you remember that? In the middle of the week. In the middle of the week, John said he saw the wonder in heaven, the woman with a foot on the moon, America. Up went the child. Up went the child, out went the dragon. Is that right? Out went the dragon. Now, what does that mean? Immediately, he knew that he had but a short time. He was raging. He knew that he had time and a half a time. A short time. So the Bible said he would go about devouring whom he would. I said that it would come in by flattery. Didn't it do that? Didn't Kissinger run all over the place and flatter the nations and lie to them? Didn't he do it? He flattered the Jews and lied to them. But in the middle of the week, he was to become fierce. Satan was to incarnate himself in him. And naturally, there is going to be a bitterness toward the Jews. As I said, Kissinger isn't going to want them into the peace pact because he knows that that means trouble for him because they despise him and his name. So then that means that he will stir up all the nations round and about against Israel because he won't want them in the peace pact anymore. And there's only one thing to do, and that's overrule them and master them, in that he can't master them by having them to voluntarily join the peace pact. So it is evident that it is far, farther along than you could ever imagine. that things is right at hand. Brother Branham, speaking of the destruction coming in the year of 77, which is just a few months away. Now, I believe this with all my heart. I believe that the revelation of Jesus Christ has carefully, step by step, spoke to you, showed you the different things that would take place, and pointed it right down to the coming of the Lord. And this America, being typical of the Canaan land, and we are at the end of the American government, which means the end of the millennium in its time. And Peter said, the heavens being on fire, which is the elements of the atom bomb, being on fire, that the earth and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, which fits what Brother Branham spoke of in this coming year, as he saw it, in this coming year of the burning at the end of the great millennium. You follow me? In that America is a type of the millennium. It is a type of the millennium. So then that means that things is close by. When I spoke of Jimmy Carter being rejected, I said they had debate in King. His name's not Ford, it's King. I checked up on it to see. It's King. So then when the King cast out. Now somebody said, but Brother Pike, you said Jimmy Carter had to do with the man child. That's right. Because Jesus was made sin and was rejected of God in his first program and cast out. Is that right? When the Lord, when God of heaven rejected Jesus and turned on him at Calvary, why did he do that? When Jesus said, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus had done no sin, but he was made sin, the body of my sin, the body of your sin, that we might be made the body of his righteousness in God. He died out of the presence of God that we might live in the presence of God. He was typical of the head of the serpent and the head of the beast, and Israel was a typical of the body of the beast. And God poured out his wrath upon the sinful generation of Adam, showing Adam, made himself twain, the first and the last Adam. God smote the first Adam through Jesus, and the part of the serpent's body, which was Israel in the type, died out of the presence of God and went through the church ages and has been out of the presence of God all of these years, suffering as a type, as a scapegoat, for you and for me. The Ten Commandments, I brought it out here. The Ten Commandments was what smote Jesus. Is that right? The Bible said that those ten kingdoms, when John saw the ten horns on the beast, he said, this is ten kingdoms that will give their strength to the beast until their time be fulfilled, but they hate the beast and will burn his flesh with fire. Those Ten Commandments has given their strength in the religious perspective to the beast, which is the flesh. Is that right? Has given it to the flesh through the act of grace and appropriated benefits to the flesh. When the Bible said they're in harmony with God and they hate the flesh, and no flesh shall be justified by the law, but be condemned by the law and turned into hell to burn the beast's flesh with fire. So those Ten Commandments, Paul said, that sin, the serpent, gets its strength by the Ten Commandments, which is law. They give their kingdom to the kingdom of the flesh, the beast, the serpent, the generation of vipers that Jesus spoke of until the time is fulfilled. So then he was smitten to die, there to show John's middle of the week. When Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven, he was speaking of his own body in the type of sin. As that body was rejected of God, Satan went out of the presence of God, because Satan lives in the presence of God through the weakness of the flesh. I brought it out. I said that Satan got into the second heaven. How did he do it? Through grace. When grace come from Calvary to the rapture, that's the second dimension. That's the second heaven. Is that right? In the presence of God, because he lives in the temple of God, which is a human being, in the weakness of the flesh. The Bible said he sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, ruling over humanity, controlling the world. Is that right? And he is in the presence of God. Though he was cast out of the presence of God, he has crawled up into the upper lintel, which is the second heaven, the upper lintel. And he is in the presence of God through the weakness of the flesh, in that grace brings rain upon the just and upon the unjust. As long as that grace is coming down, he is in heaven. He is in the presence of God. If you don't believe this heaven is heaven, you just wait and see. But notice this. Your body is in one dimension. Your soul is in another dimension. And your spirit is in another dimension. All right, listen to me. Your body is in the first heaven. If you are a Christian, your spirit, your soul is in the second heaven. Your spirit is in the third heaven. I say, how could that be, Brother Pike? Because your body is under the penalty of death and the penalty of the law. Is that right? We are reckon yourselves to be dead by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? It is in the first dimension because beyond Calvary is the law. That is the first act of God among humanity with the Jews, which is the bodily realm, which is the outer courts or the first heaven. Is that right? That was where the beast part was slain. Now, there was good beast and brute beast. Is that right? You represent the good, the Lamb of Atonement. Is that right? Here in that dimension is your body. That body is unredeemed as far as you recognizing the redemption and enjoying the benefits of it. Now, are you listening to me? All right, now, in that being back beyond Calvary, that body is dead in the sight of God. It is still in sin as far as God is concerned when it comes to the sinner. But with you, though you be in that dimension beyond Calvary, you are in the first heaven because you are in paradise. He said, Daniel, you shall rest in paradise or rest in your place. Is that right? Until it be moved yonder. So then, being righteous, you are dead or asleep in Christ. The Bible said, we are not in this world. He has chosen us out of this world, and we are hid with Christ in God, that is in the Spirit, whom the heavens have received until the day of this day that we're living in, the restoration, the revelation, the millennium, the restoring of all things. Now, from Calvary back, you're under the penalty of death in your body. But now, when it comes to Calvary, from Calvary over to the rapture, that is your soul. Your soul is in the second dimension, which is the second heaven, which is grace. Because God will not impute sin to a believer. Faith eliminates your transgressions. Faith eliminates your problems. Faith eliminates all that you've ever done wrong. You're without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Your soul is under the blood covering, under the atonement of God's blood. Is that right? Your body is in the first dimension under the law, represented by the Jewish people, who is the apple of God's eye, that Paul said he hath not cast away, but blinded in part until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Which means your body is not cast away, but it will be brought back into the presence of God. Are you listening? Now, your soul is in the second heaven, the second dimension. Because there was a dissecting from Calvary on over. We can't go into the details of it, but just enough to let you understand what we're trying to say. Your spirit is in the third heaven. It is in the third dimension. It is not under the law. Your spirit is not under grace. Are you listening? Your spirit is not under grace, nor is it under the law. Your body is under the law. Your soul is under grace, but your spirit by new birth has been translated into the kingdom of God and is in the world of righteousness. Nothing can touch it. It is sealed under the day of the redemption of the body. It is in the third heaven where God is as a spirit. Christ and your spirit is one spirit, and it is in the third heaven. It can never perish. It can never die. It can never change. It can never sin because it is secure, sealed in the third dimension. That spirit someday will return into the soul and that soul into that body. And all of this is represented by the dissecting of the nations from Calvary and the reorganizing or the union of nations that will come in the end. Are you listening to me now? From the dissecting, it's dissected, and the Jews went this way, and the Catholics went this way, and the Protestants went this way. You follow me? A lot I'd like to go into about comprehend the heights, depth, width, and length. But anyway, that's the way it went. In the union of the nations, the Jews will come back in harmony with the Catholics. The Catholics will come back in harmony with the Protestants. And the body, soul, and the spirit of mass humanity, typically speaking, will be reunited, which indicates at that time that our body, soul, and spirit is come back together, in that Paul spoke of the Jews being a typical thing of the resurrection of the dead. Know ye not that the resurrection of the dead depends upon the Jews, Paul said. That is the bringing in of the Jews. What else could it be but life from the dead? Is that right? So then it indicates the body coming back to life. So then at this point, there's just so much I'd like to say there, but I'm going to close. But at this point, it is evident that the catching up of the man-child is in the revelation of Christ, which has to do with the tent, all of us gathering together, and especially this coming weekend, when the doors will be closed here, in the catching up of the man-child, those that love the Lord being sealed in, being in there, gathered together, in the tent, caught up into heaven, in the Carolina, has to do with heaven. You understand what I'm saying? The few that will be there from Brother Branham's following indicates the body of redemption, meeting with the Spirit, coming up. How many remember when they come down from the Carolinas? How many remember 10 families coming down from the Carolinas? Some of you ought to remember, you're part of the 10 family, you know. Okay? How many remember the 10 families coming over from the Western perspective? All right, how many remember the folks that was here? Now, what was that? The black man coming in from over there has to do with the Jews cast into the outer darkness. His color shows that. You follow me? The body out in darkness, the redemption of your body, when they came in, it had to do with the redemption of the body. The people from Carolinas came from Brother Godwin, which had to do with a spiritual perspective. And they came here typifying the Spirit coming to this place. Then what did this place typify? It typified the junction of reunion, because it was the soul perspective. That's why it's red, this red dirt like Georgia, you know. Over there comes the body, up there comes the spirit, and both of them finds life in the soul. Is that right? You follow me? All of them is unionized in the soul, which showed God bringing together the union of that which he was going to do to bring about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of things I'd like to say, but you've been patient and listened this long, and I know it's probably late, and I didn't intend to even hold you that late. But, you know, you just can't tell the things of God. So many other things that I'd like to say concerning present-day happenings right now. But, see, you just can't tell the things of God in 10 minutes. I can't. Now, you might can, but I can't. But I appreciate your patience and your kindness and listening. And, folks, for Christ's sake and for my sake and for sanity's sake, when you come to church, try, for Christ's sake, try to be spiritual and to get into this thing, because you don't want to perish in the flames of hell. We're not playing a game. This is the living reality of the mind of the eternal God that is trying to unionize you in something of accord with him, that you might not be lost. So whatever you do, try to do something. Let's stand together. Now, when we get down to the tent, maybe we'll be a little more evangelistic. Brother Leon will be a little more evangelistic, because that's what he is an evangelist. He will thrill your hearts in the milk of the word and the praises of God. So, in the meantime, let us who be parents lay up for the children while they dance and shout and sing and have a good time. Let us provide food that when the shadows begin to fall, that they'll have a place through the night, because the darkness is coming, folks. And we need to be ready for it. We need to understand.
Now, I had a vision the other night. You just give me a minute to tell it. It won't take but a minute. How would you like for me to tell it? Okay, I had a vision the other night. This morning it was. It wasn't in the night, it was this morning. And in this vision, I looked and I saw a plane pulling, as it was, afloat through the air, box type, and people in it like celebrities. I looked then, standing at my house facing this way, the plane moving in the air this way, and I stand at the door looking up. Then I saw as it was wagons, old-fashioned tourist wagons, as they went through the air, people in it. And then I turned and I looked. And when I turned around to look, I was in my house, and my wife was fixing some meals, and we'd spread a table or two. And I was going to invite one or two of my friends in to eat with me. But when I looked around, I thought I had two or three friends, and I had so many friends they took up all the table. So then I thought, well, I better prepare another table. So I prepared another table. And when I looked around, I had so many friends they took up all of that table. And then the scene changed. As I wondered what I was going to do, more people was coming in. Black folks was coming in. White folks was coming in. Celebrities was coming in. Drunkards that was turning away from drinking was coming in. As I pondered on what I was going to do, the scene changed. And I found myself in, as it was a modern city, going down a street. I looked, and on the side was telephone poles, tall telephone poles. They were stringing wires, electrical wires. I saw this, and it was a brownish type post, you know, like these new posts they put up, you know, before they turn white, clear seal like. There was exceedingly high, and I looked, and it was Amish people that was putting it up. And I was standing over there in the midst of the Amish people. And while I was looking at them, I said, well, y'all do better than our people do. You know, the general run of Americans, I said, y'all try to take care of y'all's people. I said, you got ropes. When they climb up there, you kind of keep them in safety, you know. And one young fellow said to me, he said, safe, but not safe enough. So then it was as though we were taking a break, either to go to church or lunch, I don't know what it was. But I turned around, walked up a little walkway about like this up to a building as a church or whatever. And you come this way, come up the steps, and then down the walkway, and then in the door. As I got up to the walkway, just to the top of the porch there, I was standing looking in this direction, and an elderly man with a cane standing in this direction, a middle-aged man standing right here facing me. The middle-aged man seemed to be a real congenial person, a real fine person. The old man was very crabby. So I was trying to tell him about the revelation of Jesus Christ. I said, now it's time for the revelation of Jesus Christ. I said, you folks have done such and such. And as I tried to talk, this man that was decrepit and old, he was standing over here with a cane, and he was real boisterous and protruding, and he was aggravating me, and he drowned me out, and he didn't want him to hear me. And finally, I just looked at him. I said, sir, would you be kind enough to let me finish what I'm trying to say? And then he really got boisterous, and I saw he didn't intend for me to tell them. He didn't want them to hear it. So then this other man, being a real congenial sort of fella, he said, give the man time to finish what he's trying to tell us. So the man stepped over this way, and I said, you don't want me. And then I looked at him. I said, Satan, you don't want me to tell these people. And I realized it was Satan in the man. And he looked at me real stern-like, walked around and went over here and went inside the building. Then I continued to talk to this man. As I continued to talk with him, he received it. He said, you know, I believe what you're saying. And then the scene changed, and was out here on the grass, and he was down there talking to me, and I was just jumping up and down and shouting, and I was just having a hoopy of a time. I was just praising God, and my cup was just overflowing because the man had received the revelation of the Lord. Then the scene changed again, and I was back where I started from in the same room, still the tables there, and the tables filled up, but this man that had received me was sitting at the table. So then I was talking to him, and I said, we'll just feed all of them. But I was wondering how I was going to feed them. I said, but we'll feed all of them. I said, we'll just feed them all. I said, just bring them all. And I believe the man said, well, it probably 5,000 of them. I said, well, that's all right. Bring the whole 5,000. I'll feed the whole 5,000. Because I didn't know where I'd put them. I couldn't even got 500 in the house, you know. But it got a hold of me when I said, I'll feed them. I just jumped up, you know, in the middle of the floor. I said, I'll show you I can feed them. I said, just bring the whole army. I'll feed the whole army. The man, he turned around to look at me, and when he did, I began to speak tables into existence. And tables just appeared everywhere full of food. And this man, when he saw that, he really, I mean, he just tore him up. He said, I sure do believe the revelation of Jesus Christ. I believe that you can do it. And so then I believe this, folks. I said that to say this. The Amish people have to do with the Jews. How many remember me relating that, saying it over and over? See, they have to do with the Jews, and Brother Atlee is planning up here at this tent meeting to invite one of the Amish people over to that tent that is a man of reputation that may have to do with this very thing. So then it indicates the coming in of the Jews, the resurrection or the redemption of the body, in that we have received the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now get this real close. I just wish we just had months and you had an ear to hear and a spirit to understand. But remember this, we are not waiting for the redemption of the body. Now, I want to get my people straight on that. People preach out yonder, we are waiting for the redemption of the body, and we use that term in preaching. But a lot of times that's misleading if you don't understand what is being said. We are not waiting for the redemption of the spirit. Neither are we waiting for the redemption of the soul, nor are we waiting for the redemption of the body. The Bible said God hath, that's already right now, translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. The Bible said, let the weak say that I'm strong. Is that Bible? You're weak, but he said, accept strength. Don't believe in weakness. Say, I'm strong, because God's made you strong. Confess his mind. You're not confessing a lie. That's the spirit of truth. That's the words of truth. You're confessing the truth. And the truth breaks the yoke, which is your weakness. Is that right? Let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the sick say, I'm well. Let the unredeemed say, I'm redeemed by grace divine. Glory, glory. His love is mine. You understand what I'm saying? I am not waiting for the redemption of the body. Paul did not say that we are waiting for the redemption of the body. He said we are waiting to wit the redemption of the body. We are waiting to accept, to understand, to come to a knowledge that will make us to know that at Calvary it was finished, that in God we are a finished product, complete in him, that old man is dead and gone. We are resurrected with the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of it's finished. We're without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And the body of redemption has already come in the foreknowledge of God. It's finished. And the only thing that's lacking is our faith and confidence in the finished work of Calvary, which means it is lacking because of the lack of our understanding in that the preaching is to perfect our faith. And then when we understand, then we believe. Because when we believe, we understand, we have wit. When we learn, witty, understand, come to know that it is finished, then we believe it, and then in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we enjoy the benefits that we had from the foundation of the world all the time. You understand? Enoch didn't wait till Calvary, did he? He didn't wait till Calvary. He got the revelation back there and looked and saw Calvary. So he just said, well, I'll just go on home. He's going to take care of it down here anyway. It's finished in his mind anyway. The Lamb was already slain in his mind, finished from the foundation of the world. I'll just go on home and then the rest of it take care of itself. Is that right? So why should we wait? Why should we wait? All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I'll pray for the sister here. Let's sing the little chorus, I love him because he is mine. What a wonderful, wonderful, glorious opportunity. What a day. What a day. That's all I know to say is what a day. What a day. People going to church and people weary and people worn out and people striving to learn their spiritual ABCs, as the brother said, always believe Christ. Striving to learn some little paragraph and quote some little scripture. Striving to do that when here we are, the sons and daughters of God, having been born again, translated in the kingdom of God, made spotless forever, sanctified once and for all, having been predestinated, perfected forever, nobody to lay anything to our charge.
And God's just saying, son, when are you going to take time to learn about me and believe in what I said so that you can forever enjoy what I have done? It is finished. Is that right? It is finished, Jesus said. If it is finished, then why not enjoy it? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, see, here's the thing. You can't believe something you don't know or understand, can you? Can you believe something that you don't even know? Faith cometh by hearing. How can you believe if you've never heard? And how can you hear if you don't have ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church? Is that right? How can he preach lest he be sent? How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of the great joy that it's finished. Rejoice forevermore. I've given you joy. Rejoice forevermore. Don't let your heart be troubled. If you could understand. But see, to believe, you've got to understand. You can't wit lest you understand. You've got to understand. To understand, there's got to be a message. When the revelation comes, if you have heard, if you have understood, to take heed how you hear. With wisdom, get understanding. Understand it. And then when you understand, you say, my God. Then you understand who you are and what you are and what God has done for you. Is that right? Then when you do that, you believe. You believe. And when you believe, that takes care of it. Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. What did Enoch do to get past death? What did he do? Did he shout? Did he speak in tongues? Come on now. They said the evidence of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. Isn't that right? How do you believe that Enoch had the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost was way back in before this world ever started. The Bible said the prophets of old spoke by the Holy Ghost. Is that right? Said the Holy Ghost signifying such and such a time. See, what was it? Say, well, he's got to come back and die again. No, he doesn't. He wasn't under the law. He was before the law. Moses and Elijah come back and die again. They're under the penalty of the law. But not Enoch. He was the type of the church. Translated that he should not see death. If he comes back to see death, the scriptures is broken. So then, he was translated by faith. How was he translated by faith? He walked with God 300 years. He had an ear to hear, and God told him all about it. He said, I believe it. He went on home with God. That's all it took. Now, you've walked with me for about 3 years. I've told you, do you believe it? You can't believe it. Some of you can't believe it. You ain't paid enough attention to even know what I said. You didn't even believe it enough and have enough confidence that I had the message or that God was with me or that this was true to even pay attention enough to even get it to understand so that you could believe. But to those that have an ear to hear, see, whatever the Spirit says unto the church, we give you whatever we can, whatever you can get, whatever it be. If it be a little bit or it be a lot, you get the Spirit by measure. Whatever you get, then the thing to do is hold on to that and ask God to magnify. Father, bless this little girl tonight. In the wonderful, lovely name of Jesus, by your stripes she was healed. I feel the virtue right now of Calvary. She was healed. At Calvary, Lord, it's finished. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. I felt the Holy Ghost go into her body. Let's pray for Anita. Father, Lord of heaven, in the name of Jesus. God, you said that if we would draw nigh to thee, you would draw nigh to us. And if we would resist the devil, he would flee from us. May Anita resist the devil tonight. May she resist him by drawing nigh to you, committing her life unto thee, and Lord, believing tonight. I ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord, to destroy every evil power that would affect her life. Every devil and every demon, Satan, I adjure thee by God, in the name of Jesus Christ, to leave this girl. And I plead the blood of Jesus, the blood of Calvary against you, Satan. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood against you. I plead the blood in between you and this girl. In the name of Jesus Christ right now. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and praise the Lord. Let's sing that little chorus, Have Faith in God. Can we? If you believe tonight, God will do something for you. Let's sing it together. Can we? Have faith in God. Sing it with me. Oh, how faith in God. I pray for this little lady. In Jesus' name tonight, whatever the problem, Lord, God, I expect you to move it right now, once and for all.
Have
the name of Jesus.
Faith,
heal this body, Jesus.
In God,
heal it, forgive the sins,
healing,
Lord of the soul. Secure
faith,
it. The name of Jesus tonight.
Faith,
make everything right. Make everything right. Jesus, you can, and I feel you doing it in Jesus' name. Right now. Father, touch this little girl. In the name of
God.
Jesus. Hallelujah. In your name, Jesus.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Have faith in God. Have faith in God for a miracle. Have faith. Have faith.
Bless everybody while Toby's standing here tonight. Let's have special prayer for the grandmother. Said that as she was laying there on her dying bed, that she told the people, said, you need to raise your standards of living a little higher. Father, Lord of heaven, as we pray for that mother tonight, dear God, I trust that everything is well with her. And Father, that everything is clear between her and God. Father, for if it is, this is her great moment. Lord, as she's passing over, it's her great day. Lord, it's her day of jubilee. Lord, she be free from all the bondage and heartaches and sorrows. Dear God, if you see fit, Lord, that she should stay in this world and abide in that little tabernacle longer for the testimony of people and the good of people, may you grant it. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And Father, touch Toby tonight. Bless him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name tonight. Father, touch this little lady tonight in the name of Jesus. Bless this darling little child. Heal, Jesus. Oh, I feel your lovely presence. Heal, Jesus. Father, touch Mickey and his wife. Touch the home. Heal their bodies and be with them. Oh, Lord, as I feel your presence tonight. Streaming down from Calvary. Hallelujah. Fathers, I pray for Brother David tonight. Lord, as we look away together, agreeing as brothers in the Lord, looking back at Calvary, oh God, it's finished. Hallelujah. I feel your presence, Jesus. Lord, break every yoke, move every hindrance, every heartache, every sorrow. Meet the needs, oh God, of Brother David. And dear God, may every spiritual need be supplied in his life, in his home, dear God. Bless his wife and children. Help him break every yoke. Fill him with thy spirit and give him a vision. In the name of Jesus, break every yoke. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Father. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and love him, can we? I feel his presence here tonight. I feel God's presence. Fathers, I pray for Brother Albert Floyd tonight. I pray that you would heal his body, strengthen him, lead him into the right ways of God. And dear God, in the name of Jesus tonight, I pray for Brother Richard. May thy spirit tonight overflow. Oh, Jesus. Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Touch the Lord.
Fathers, I pray for this sister tonight in the name of Jesus. I feel your presence.
He's not too busy.
I feel your concern, Jesus. Heal the spotted. Oh, God, as I feel your anointing right now. Heal, Jesus, and make well. As I pray for this sister, in the name of Jesus, heal, Jesus. Father, break every yoke tonight. Heal in your name. God, make well. Hallelujah.
Father, as I pray for this little girl, I pray that you'd heal her tonight. Make her well in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Touch this sister tonight. Heal her body. Make her well. Give her a vision for Christ. Grant it, Lord, as I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Spirit of Christ, Father. Hallelujah. Father, I can tell that you're resurrected from the dead because I feel your presence, Jesus. Lord, you said you'd be here if two or three had come together in your name. And almighty Christ of God, I feel you. Heal the spotted. Break every yoke, Jesus. Lord, in your name. Hallelujah. Father, as I pray for Vicky tonight, I pray, Lord, that you'd heal her body tonight. Heal these hands, Jesus. Break every yoke. Move every evil power. Jesus, hear from heaven. Heal, Jesus. Oh, God, I pray for Debbie and Kenny tonight as she requested. Father, touch them. Supply their needs. Oh, God, cause them to repent of their evil. Stretch out your hand, Jesus. Watch over those little children and restore them in their home in Jesus' name.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for Mark tonight. And I pray for little Jeff tonight. I pray that you'd heal Jeff's body and watch over Mark. Father, heal Jeff's body. Help the mother and daddy, Lord, to be sanctified by thy Spirit and to realize the necessity of serving God. Heal tonight. Heal, Jesus. Stretch out your healing hand as I feel you heal tonight. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them who believe. Do
not
pass me by. Oh, Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? Oh, while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Sing it again. Oh, say, won't you hear my humble cry? Oh, while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Go leave it there, oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you'll trust and never doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord
and leave them there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you have to get along on mega fare, oh, just remember in God's word how he fed the little birds. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Sing it with me, will you? Oh, leave them there. Oh, leave them there.